Grace be yours and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Amen. Our text for this evening is recorded in the Gospel of St. Mark. We read in the 14th chapter, verses 22 to 25. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God. It took 3 years for Leonardo da Vinci to complete it. This 15 by 29 inch painting or foot painting remains one of the greatest treasures of ecclesiastical art. And it is, of course, Da Vinci's The Last Supper. Da Vinci, always the inventor, thought that he would improve on the way things were done, and so he painted it on some wet plaster when it was customary to do those kinds of things on dry plaster. Aesthetically, it was a success. Structurally, it was a disaster. Almost from the time that Da Vinci finished The Last Supper, it began to crumble. It began to fall apart. And even today, the work continues ongoing to try to keep it in one piece. Da Vinci's painting of The Last Supper won't last forever. Jesus' Last Supper does last forever. It lasts from the time that Jesus said to his, or rather, his blessings, and it will continue from when Jesus said, on the same night he was betrayed, through all eternity. So the Last Supper of our Lord that he instituted lasts and remains from the time that Jesus instituted it throughout eternity. This is the truth that Jesus told his disciples. He said, "I tell you the truth, until I drink it anew in the kingdom of God, cherish the blessings of the past. Enjoy the blessings of the present and look forward to the blessings of the future." Tonight we return to that upper room where Jesus celebrated the Passover, the last Passover, with his disciples. That's why it's called the Last Supper. Jesus would make it the Last Supper necessary, the last Passover ever celebrated, because the very next day he would fulfill what it was picturing throughout all Old Testament history. The previewing time, the preparatory time of the Passover was now at an end. So it was the last Passover. It was the Last Supper. Part of the Passover celebration that Jesus and the disciples did, as was their custom at this Last Supper, was to cherish the blessings of the past that they enjoyed together as God's people. And every Passover, the families would think back and talk about the blood of the lamb that was placed on the doorposts in Egypt so that the angel of death passed over them. They would talk about that blessing of the past when the children of Israel were led out of Egypt to the promised land by the pillar of fire at night and by the cloud during the day. They would remember back to Moses parting the Red Sea and the children of Israel traveling on dry ground between those mountains of waters piled up on each side of them. The same piles of water that later fell down and drowned Pharaoh and his army. As the disciples listened to one another and talked about these things and cherished the past, it reminded them of their connection to God's people. It reminded them of their connection to one another. It reminded them of their connection to God's certain promise of the Messiah who would come and be their Savior. But now Jesus wanted them to move on from the past. He wasn't there to continue to celebrate the past with them again and again in the Passover. Yes, it was fine to cherish the blessings of the past. And we even do that, don't we, as we study and hear sermons on and learn about the Old Testament. But Jesus did not want that preview, that Passover meal to continue because it was all finished. And so he gave them something for the present, something for their present, something for our present, something for the church's present as we await the day when our Lord Jesus will return. And so he took the same earthly elements that were used in that last Passover that was now over and useless, and he took that unleavened bread and he gave it to them and he said, "Take it and eat it. This is my body." And then he took a cup of summer wine or spring wine, grape wine, that they used in the Passover and gave it to his disciples and said, "All of you drink from this. This is the covenant," some manuscripts, "the new covenant of my blood for the forgiveness of your sins." So now for the present, to enjoy the blessings of the present, the church had a new supper. They had a new meal that they would enjoy. Jesus said to them, "This is my body, this is my blood." But then he added, "I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." But Jesus said, "I'm not going to be able to stay here with you and keep enjoying this new meal as every year I enjoyed the Last Supper with you. Because now for a while I have to go away from you." And he meant, of course, of going to the cross. But we can also apply his words to later when he ascends into heaven. But he said, "I'm going to go away from you because I have to give that body. I have to shed that blood that I am going to always put and have behind that bread and wine as blessings for you to enjoy in the present as members of the church." So he said, "I'm enjoying this. I'm establishing this new meal with you now. But right now, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to offer that body and that blood into death. And in a miracle, you will have that true, real body and blood that I offer and shed on the cross, always in, always with, and always under that bread and the wine when you take communion. I can't sit and enjoy this meal with you because I have to go and make it that special meal of the gospel that will be a blessing in your life. The word Jesus wanted the disciples to really focus on, particularly besides the words of institution, is that word until. And that is a word of promise and a word of hope. He said, this meal now, this new meal, I won't be able to drink it with you immediately in the present because I'm going to go and make the offering that makes it special. But one day I'm going to leave you again, and you as the church will continue in the present to receive and to give that meal to one another. You will enjoy that meal constantly in the present until I come and drink it anew with you in the kingdom of God. What a great blessing the Lord's Supper is for us as Christians to enjoy this wonderful, miraculous meal of the forgiveness of sins in the present, in our lives, as part of the church. We prepare for that. We use the law as a mirror to examine ourselves. We confess our sins. We ask ourselves, do we believe that Jesus is my Savior? We ask ourselves, do I believe that Christ's true body and blood are really present in the sacrament? And as the Holy Spirit leads us to answer those questions in the affirmative, then we come and we enjoy that wonderful blessing in the present. Think about when we take communion, that we do look back. We remember the Lord's death. We remember what He did for us on the cross. And we also look in and under with our spiritual eyes, and we see that true body and blood of Christ in the sacrament when it is given and when it is received. And when we take communion, we look around. We look around and we look down the row at people who publicly make the same confession of faith that we do, particularly by their church membership, but also by their acknowledging their sins and publicly confessing their faith in Jesus Christ. We look back, we look in, we look around, and we realize that we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. But I hope you recognize that I missed looking one other way. We look back, we look in, we look around, but we also look ahead. We look forward to that day, Jesus says, when I will drink this with you anew in the kingdom of God. When I return and you and I will enjoy that blessing of the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation that I have now given you for the present. Jesus testified with his own words and promise and says, I tell you the truth. I am going to drink it anew with you. And that anew doesn't only mean that it's going to be done another time after it's done this time. It means that the meal is going to be different. That wonderful meal of blessings, of Christ's righteousness, of Christ's forgiveness, of our salvation, for the strengthening our faith that we enjoy now, is going to be different in heaven, because it's going to be unlike anything that we've ever enjoyed now. We even say in one of our prayers where we thank God for this foretaste of the heavenly banquet. What that banquet's going to be like, I don't know. What it's going to taste like, what it's going to consist in exactly, how it's going to be, I don't know. But I do know that it's going to be much, much greater. And we think, how could it even be greater than the Lord's Supper? But it's going to be much, much greater than even that, as you and I enjoy that festival, that wonderful marriage feast of our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And you know, then we won't have to examine ourselves before we sit down to it, because we won't have to look for any sins, because we're going to be perfectly holy and perfectly righteous in Christ's righteousness. So we're not going to have to examine ourselves, because we're going to shine out with the radiance of Christ's glory. Not only because we are with Him, but because we will be like Him. We will hear our Savior say, "Take and eat, and take and drink of the heavenly blessings that I have prepared for you." One of the joys of that heavenly meal will also be, I would suggest for pastors particularly, that we will never ever have to tell anybody again, "I'm sorry you can't commune with us." Because in heaven, we will all believe the same things. We will all be stripped of our sins and our weaknesses and our false beliefs and our vices and our misunderstandings, and we will all be together at that table of our Lord, purely, righteously, in that faith in God and Jesus Christ that is also pure and is also holy, when we eat that and drink that in the kingdom of God. In that day, we won't see Jesus, and Jesus won't be with us just sacramentally in the sacramental union, but He will be with us physically, visibly, present with us in the heavenly kingdom. No longer will we want to look back. No longer will we need to look under some kind of imperfect earthly elements. We won't have to look around, because we will know exactly who we're with, as hearts will be completely exposed. And best of all, we won't have to look forward to being with our Lord Jesus at the feast, at the marriage feast of His Son, because we will be there and we will be enjoying it fully. This reality is truly breathtaking, filled with overwhelming joy that will never end. It will be that lasting supper about which we say in the hymn, "At the Lamb's high feast we sing, praise to our victorious King, who has washed us in the tide, flowing from His pierced side." Alleluia. Amen.